And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome once again into the studio Mayor Edna DeVries, Mayor of the City of Palmer.
Welcome. Good morning. Thank you for having me again.
And you've just come in from outside, so give us an update. What's the weather like out there?
I don't feel any wind, which is, you know, maybe a more rarity than we would like. But it is chilly this morning, a little bit of frost on the windshield. And so, yeah, it's...
And I know that Thursday the wind was big enough that we all got a notice that said no trash pickup.
Right, yeah.
It's still difficult to do, and the borough's landfill closes down when it's windy like that as well.
Yeah, and I think the city this year is trying to be more proactive on getting that word out, either Facebook or Blackboard, where we call residents. And so... And we do have quite a few new houses being built, and so I think one of the areas where the city now needs to do is reach out to those new property owners and let them know about Blackboard, because I don't think we've done a push for Blackboard, say, for the new residents that have been around that haven't lived here, say, in the, you know, the more than a couple of years ago or so.
And I understand there's a new version of the website that's coming very soon.
Yes, yes.
So that will happen.
Right, yeah. And with that new website, we are going to do an add-on to be able to businesses to pay, purchase their business license and pay their sales tax.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes. That's something I've been working on for many years, and so I think we're finally going to get it.
And there's a reason why it takes a long time, the back end of all of that, to have it be secure and work properly.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and with sales tax, it's not like, say, the business license where it is $25 a year. You know, no matter what, sales tax fluctuates from month to month from the business. And so there's, you know, data they got to put in and, you know, be able to do the math and, you know, if it's late, figure the penalty and et cetera, et cetera. So it's a little bit more complicated than just being able to twitch your fingers and say, let's do it.
No, sure. Well, the news... dominating right now. There are a number of stories coming up, but the one that has affected so many people has been, of course, the unfortunate incident where a wee bit too high trailer hit a bridge, overpass, and the result was some pretty long, the reports of 5 hours to go from Palmer to Anchorage and all the rest of it. Fortunately, the reports are, as I've been following, that there's a temporary improved little detour rather than the big one where you had a chance to see all of downtown Eagle River. But over the weekend, the expectation is that that damaged piece will be removed and then the highway will be open, but the repair to it might take a while, which leads me, it's a long intro to lead me to something that was discussed, reported on at the last council meeting, and that was an alternative, short of building the bridge, of something like commuter rail.
Right.
So talk a little bit about your impressions since you have been participating.
Right. Yeah, that's, we have started that study, and in fact, there is a meeting a week from today at 1 o'clock at Wasilla City Hall, and it's open to the public for public testimony. So people from the public can come and talk, you know, to the board or the committee, I guess, task force committee, and just talk to us about what their feelings are. Right now, we are sort of analyzing, I think the last study that we had was 2009.
I remember reading that.
Yeah.
Lengthy study, but it's 8 years later.
Yeah, right, yeah. And so, and we know the valley has increased a lot in population since that time. There is a number of things, of course, that have to take place. There needs to be a spur in Wasilla for the train, you know, to park and not hold up the other activity on the railroad rail. while they're loading and unloading passengers. And I think in Anchorage, they're trying to address some of the questions regarding, okay, I get into Anchorage and I'm dumped downtown, how do I get to 36 and right C, yeah. you know, to work? And so I believe they're working on with some of the major employers regarding having vans that would come and pick their employees up and take them, you know, like if they were working, you know, wherever they were working to. But, you know, say like ConocoPhillips or Providence or something like that, that a van would be there from that to take them to their work. And now the only concern about that, as you know, there's pros and cons and everything, would be that everybody would have to be able to get off work. You know, if they were scheduled to get off work at 4:30,
right.
nobody could say, oh, I need to finish this report, or, you know, my boss says I have to have this done by tomorrow morning or something. And, of course, there'd be no runs to Costco or anything like that.
Other kinds of things.
That, yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, so.
Well, and I'm sure the committee and the groups that are working are looking at all of those features. And come right down to it, the other, you know, real question is if there's a commuter rail coming out here, people, I think, have in their mind some previous experience. Maybe they've traveled mm-hmm. like commuter rail. It could be Seattle, the
right.
light rail, or,
mm-hmm.
or the rest of it.
Fast speed.
And fast speed. And,
and that's not what this is going to be, you know, because of the condition as well as the age of our railroad tracks. And so so that is going to be another concern. It is going to require, I mean, unless 500 people plus would sign up for it, it is going to require some subsidies.
Right.
And we know the oil price now is going up, but, you know, that subsidies are going to have to come from someplace. So,
so for listeners to have some idea of funding initially, am I correct that the governor had put into the budget an amount mm-hmm. to
right.
Kick this off
right.
as
mm-hmm.
a pilot, and but that would have to be approved by the legislature as the budget process goes through.
Right, right. Yeah. And I think the pilot project is going to be for 9 months.
Okay.
And so that hopefully they think there's enough.
Do you have any sense of how that's emerging right now, of what the outline of that would be? Well, like, is it going to go to Wasilla? Is it going to any?
It's going to go just to Wasilla now, since you were there at the council
right.
meeting on Tuesday night. Deputy Mayor Bess brought up, you know, trying to bring it into the fairgrounds, because we
right.
do have a station right there
sure.
Where people could wait and get on. But, of course, we would have to deal then with the gravel trains as well as I think this section from where it breaks off there at Matanuska coming in is some of the lower speed on the railroad track that
right.
there is.
Right.
And so so there's a lot of, as always, there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of things that need to be addressed.
Absolutely. I was on that one of the trains I think it was 2 years ago that came out.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it was a very
right.
pleasant ride.
We did.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. Mm-hmm.
That worked out. The changing this into not an expedition, an excursion, but into a kind of boring daily run.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I say that because that's the way I like my train rides to be.
Mm-hmm.
Boring. No unexpected stops, etc. Just get on and it just goes on and
right.
makes that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll be watching to hear more about this, because it's been a dream for so many people.
Mm-hmm. It has been.
As an option. And I certainly hope that it can be worked out so that it will actually continue, that it will have enough either ridership
mm-hmm. and
be done well enough so that it will continue to operate.
Right.
Because we come down to this recent event mm-hmm. that involved the bridge, and you say, oh, well, if there had been the train running, ridership would have jumped way up,
mm-hmm.
presumably.
Right,
yeah,
right.
And made
yeah.
that happen. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've asked a question and focused on something. So how about, is your thinking about all of the topics that are grabbing your attention right now that listeners might be wanting to hear a little bit about. What would you say is grabbing your attention?
Well, I would just like to say that we've had an unusual amount of snow this winter, you know, and especially after a couple of years where we got maybe a little bit laxed and having to deal with a lot of snow. And so I just appreciate the residents of Palmer, you know, giving the Public Works Department some additional kudos for, and I know they've been working lots and lots of hours, and so I appreciate that very much. Are there areas we can improve? Absolutely. And I'm going to bring that up under my mayor's report on Tuesday night, going to talk about, and I was just as I was driving here this morning, I was looking, and we, for some, you know, I think for us that live here and drive back and forth up and down Main Street all of the time, but there are some new property owners, and the code for the city says that the property owners are responsible for cleaning their sidewalks. Well, I realize that ignorance of the law is no excuse, but I think the city could do maybe a better job in reaching out to those people and saying, you know, this is what's in the code. And then I'm going to see if the council would be in agreement to refer this matter to the Board of Economic Development and ask them to work with the downtown business people to say, okay, do you want to form something where it would be taken care of and you would pay some additional taxes, or do you still want just to be responsible
on
yourself?
On your own, right.
And try to get a gauge for that. So that's one of the things I'm going to bring up under my mayor's
because
report.
Because it definitely is, being downtown on a daily basis, I through the variety of snow that comes down, I know that individual businesses' sidewalks are handled differently.
Right, they are. Right. And I know, and I generally come downtown about 7:30 so I can be to work at 7:45. And you will see those that have been out and those that haven't.
Right.
And I realize that some of the businesses don't open, you know, even until 10 or 11.
Right.
And so it would be, it's probably a major chore for them. They may almost have to hire somebody, I guess, or themselves come down 2 or 3 hours early to clean the sidewalks or something. So
yes, the first cut seems to be that having a combined operation where everybody, that you just have someone come in and do it early.
Right.
And
yeah.
And it's done.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And if people would be then willing to, you know, have that amount divided up and just add it onto their taxes or sent an invoice from the city, and how those that would work. And so that's one item that I'm going to talk about on Tuesday night. The second item that I'm going to talk about on Tuesday night is some good news. We had talked previously at the council regarding putting a roundabout where South Valley and North Valley come together on Arctic there by the Yak and by the skateboard park, because we've had requests to the state for many years regarding trying to get a crosswalk in there.
Right.
And so I talked to the highway department a couple times about that, and the latest is that we have gotten permission from them, if the city will pay for it, is to put in a crosswalk there.
Wow.
And the city will have to pay for the paint and the signs, you know, because you'd have to have signs,
sure,
you know,
right,
50 feet away or something like that saying crosswalk ahead. And I'm going to ask the council, the highway department man offered to come out and meet with me and Nate, but I would like to have the whole council involved. So I'm going to ask the council if they would like him to come during council comments,
sure,
press and communication, so the word can get out a little bit more. And back to the crosswalk, though, he said that if the city would pay the electric bill, that they would even put in over one of those overhead blinking red lights that would sort of get people's attention.
Sure.
And then the second thing I asked him, I said, well, what about the roundabout? And he said, well, there's two things that we consider when we do a roundabout. He said, one is, he said, we like to have it closest to the entrance to the town.
Right.
So he said he would like to move it one block to the east, which would be Dahlia Street, which Dahlia Street is the one that runs in front of the courthouse and dead ends into the borough parking lot.
Right.
And I laughed to him and I said, well, there's a big church there at the end. And he said to me, he said, well, I didn't tell you it was going to be easy. So I don't know how, when that would be or how long down the line that would be. But so, he said that would slow the traffic down, right, and make it even better then for the crosswalk, because they would be coming out of that, you know, at 15, 20 miles an hour, whatever the standard is,
right,
for
you just can't go fast through a roundabout.
Yeah, yeah, right. And especially if you do the one on Selden and Bogart.
Oh, yes. That one is tight.
That's... Yeah. Yeah. So
what you're describing here, I think, is a very real, let's look at all the implications before we push something, mm-hmm, process. Whether we're talking about the railroad, we're talking about this, mm-hmm, because there are a lot of things to take into account.
Right. There's a lot of stakeholders involved in many of these things, and we can't, you know, just... To me, it sounded like a perfect solution to have a roundabout there, you know. Now, the property owner on the, the southeast corner, he was not too happy about the roundabout. But so when I called him back and told him they don't want a roundabout there, I said, I'm going to make your day.
But, okay. Well, Mike Molesky here. I'm talking with Mayor Edna DeVries, mayor of the city of Palmer. I know that you welcome commentary, certainly at the meetings that, mm-hmm, happen on Tuesday. If people want to, maybe they're listening to this and they're thinking, oh, I've got an idea.
Sure.
What's the best way to contact you?
Yeah. Well, on the website is both my cell, and I do have a listed landline.
Okay.
That may surprise a bunch of people. People don't even know what a landline is, but for us. So I just felt like that I needed to have that.
Sure.
Just for, and so they can contact me on that, on the City of Palmer website. As I said, my landline is listed in the,
sure,
MTA, and it's 745-3388, and my cell, and I do voice or text,
355-3243. Okay.
Or they can just come to the city council meetings. We meet generally the second and fourth Tuesdays.
Right.
There's always audience participation. Some of the meetings, there's two places for audience participation, at the beginning of the meeting as well as at the end. And or they can just email me to edevries@palmerak.org. And
right.
So,
we're good.
Yeah.
Well, each time you come in, we do touch upon, and it seems to be the proper time to do it again, the budget that's being,
yes,
I'm not sure what it's being, something is happening with the budget in Juneau.
Yes.
It's sometimes hard to say, is it worked on or being processed or being fought about? Or I don't know the good descriptor to use, but what's your sense of this year and the budget there and implications for the city of Palmer?
For the last few years, we, outside of municipal sharing, we have gotten very little, and I think last year's was like $46,000, which, you know, is not a small amount to the city of Palmer's budget, but to a larger municipality would be much, you know, much smaller than influence. But that is, we'd really like to see some capital money start coming back in. And so maybe next year or the year after, we'll start to see some capital money coming back. But yeah, the massaging, I guess, of the budget and the figures.
Nice term, yes.
Yeah, that's sort of what it is, you know, pressure points here and pressure points there.
All right.
And other places where it's a light touch.
Okay. So this year, it's likely to be a budget. I know there was one interesting recommendation. I'm not sure. I haven't followed it closely enough to, mm-hmm, see where it is or it's been tossed off the side, was to say, okay, when you come to the end of the regularly defined time, 90 days,
mm-hmm,
you stop being paid.
Mm-hmm. Right.
as a legislator.
Right. Or okay, stop you, getting per
diem.
Per diem.
Or some
yeah,
aspect
right.
of
yeah,
that.
Right.
So just
yeah.
as an inducement, go ahead. You can take the amount of time you have, but this mm-hmm. is what you're being paid for. And then, do you have any opinion about that? You've served.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we need something to jar them, I think. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Sort of a wake-up call or something like that is, and I think that would be one because it is expensive, you know, to have, you know, you're probably your payment on your house is still going on unless you've rented it, and you have to rent something down there, and then of course, but your food is a little bit more expensive, but you do have at least the rent addition and maybe utilities too, depending on what kind of rental agreement you have. So, or even just a reduction. You know, there's been talk that the per diem is way too high. I think some of the feds, after they've been 30 days on a job, then the per diem is lowered.
Right. Sure.
And so I think there's a number of opportunities there, but to me, it would be just a matter of the people are serious about you getting your work done in that period of time.
Right. Because I know that recently Representative Sam Quito from Juneau has said, I've got a daughter in college.
Right.
I'm not making enough here. If we extend sessions so far into the year that I can't do another job, I'm not.
Yeah.
And of course, it was a change in per diem for Juneau's representatives. And he said, you know, I like doing this, but I can't afford to be a legislator.
Right. So that is one of the considerations, that's for sure. And I guess I can sort of see the people that are, of course, sleeping in their own bed. They really don't have that rental expense that I did talk about. So maybe, you know, a reduced rate or something like that for those. And I think they also did the within 50 miles. So like if the legislature would have a session in Anchorage, almost probably, I don't know what, 2/3 of our delegation here would be within 50 miles.
I think.
What are we considered, 43, 45?
It's something on that order. It's just about that.
Yeah, so depending in Anchorage where I guess it would be. But so, you know, maybe like Senator Schauer or, you know, or George Rauscher probably from Sutton or something like that, they would probably
be
over
just
the 50.
Over the line.
Yeah, they'd be over the line.
So the other thing that I noticed at that last Palmer City Council meeting, which was impressive to me, was the planning director for the borough came in and talked about something that the borough was going to be doing that didn't necessarily directly affect Palmer.
Right.
And in fact, I think the assurance was that it wouldn't directly affect
That's
Palmer.
Right. We're not changing here.
They were working to provide additional guidelines for planning purposes in the greater borough area that didn't exist. And my sense was that was a good thing and showed an appreciation that the borough had of the city, and the city could say, we're understanding what you're doing. Here's something that might be floated out there that we would want to know about.
Right. And the thing is, as they redo theirs, you know, we probably will at some time ask our planning and zoning to look at what they've done to see maybe if we can glean something from them and then improve, you know, our planning for the city of Palmer. So, it just showed me a spirit of cooperation and assurances, I guess, because when the borough does make changes, you know, that's generally the first thing we do. We're a little bit selfish, I guess. It's like, oh, okay, is that affecting us or whatever?
Because there is a relationship since the borough does have some authority over what happens in the city.
They do. The borough has planning powers, and they have, we sort of have an agreement with them that Palmer and Wasilla handle their own planning. But if we had an assembly that, you know, decided, no, it's going to come back to the borough, then they have the legal right to do that. So
so that leads to another question about how often do you meet with your counterpart at the borough, or how does the borough and the city communicate, manager to manager or whatever?
Right. We have a monthly meeting of mayors and managers. So both Nate and I are in that meeting. And so we, you know, the manager from the borough, the mayor from the borough, Bert's there, the mayor from Houston. Mm-hmm. And so we meet and go over things and things like that. And then as you know from Eugene's testimony, many times we have meetings on the same Tuesday nights as the borough does.
Right.
And so there isn't an often time when our, you know, local assembly person can come to attend one of our meetings. But I've always had excellent response from our local assembly member. You know, I text him or email him or call him on the phone, and he's always been very responsive regarding questions that I have regarding what the borough's doing or why didn't the borough look at this or something like that.
And so, at the borough assembly meetings, I've been impressed, both Mayor Cottle from Wasilla and Nate Wallace, manager here, appear, and they give reports that, and I think the assembly enjoys having the detail
so
of what's happening.
Yeah, I think so too. So I think we have a very cordial and open and inviting relationship.
Okay. Well, Mayor Edna DeVries, last comments before we finish up. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I'm anxious for spring, as I've seen some postings on Facebook regarding some birds returning, and so that's always a highlight. And it's so nice in the mornings and at night to go to work in the sunshine and come home in the sunshine. And so, and of course, many, you know, things coming up. We just did the Green Gallop race on Sunday, and we, you know, Who Let the Girls Out is coming up.
Right.
And so we just, you know, have, again, a lot of activities coming up for the city of Palmer, and I look forward just to another great year.
Okay. Mike Malewski, and I've been talking with Mayor Edna DeVries, mayor of the city of Palmer. Have a good day.
You too, sir. Thank you.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malewski. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.